Well, welcome everybody. Good evening. The Board of Education meeting will now come to order. Thank you very much. Mr. Ellis, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Board member John Kenwood is not able to attend the meeting in person due to an employment-related obligation, and in accordance with District 41 policy, Mr. Kenwood notified the superintendent's office that he would not be physically present for the board meeting, but would like to participate in the meeting by phone. May I have a motion to approve Mr. Kenwood's participation by phone in tonight's meeting?
Motion. Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Bondrat?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Ken will be calling in to start our call session tonight. Mrs. Stecker, please call the roll.
Mr. Kenwood? Mr. Bondrat?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Black?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Thank you. Before we get started, if there are parents who are here to see the presentation, there is room. There's room over here and probably a little bit over here in the corner. I don't want you not to be able to be in the room if you're here to see the presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, please feel free to.
We have decided to alter our agenda this evening in order to allow the Lincoln presentation to occur first. And so we are thrilled that so many of you are here tonight to present to us. And I'm going to turn this over to Principal Linda Schweikhofer to introduce the presentation.
And I appreciate being here instead of at our school today because we're having our fitness night. We're out of there. And parking is pretty crowded here, but it's really crowded there. So, when our building leadership team met to kind of talk about brainstorming what we're going to present, what we wanted to highlight for this presentation, the one area we kept coming back to was the positive impact that teaching learner characteristics had on our kids. We began listing examples of students demonstrating and modeling and encouraging and leading, and at that point we realized that really has to be what we highlight, what we showcase tonight. Now, the hard part was narrowing down and picking just a few examples to be able to share with you. But you'll see from tonight represents the work of the students, teachers, the Lincoln PBIS committee, and the Lincoln PTA all working together and aligning what we do, teaching learner characteristics, and as a result, really empowering our students. This presentation is about the work of our students. So I'm going to turn it over to them. You're going to see four different little snippets of ways kids are showing leadership, ways kids are working together, and embodying those learner characteristics. And just so that you know, they would love to answer questions when you're done. You've got some minutes. They're very excited, and they're curious about what maybe perhaps a question you may have for them. So I'm going to start with a presentation from Ms. Conrad's first grade student. They created the LC learner characteristic graph that you just listened to and a video they want to share with you. So, Jody?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jody Conrad. I teach first grade at Lincoln. And this is Christopher Clark, who's in my first grade classroom. And I took part in a program that the district puts together for teachers for their professional development called Partners in Technology. And so last week, we did our final share out with all the teachers and the technology that they were trying out for this program. And one of the programs that some teachers at Ben Franklin had shared out was this AutoWrap. So it's an app that you can purchase through iTunes. It's $2.99, and normally I don't purchase apps, but I knew this learner characteristic, I'm sure it was coming up, and I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to try it. And we, in our first grade classroom, we make a lot of movies, and I thought creating a wrap would be a great addition to our movie making. So that's what we did this morning. Learner characteristics, we kind of try to infuse them in everything we do in our classroom. It's just kind of the way we operate. And when we notice someone showing a learner characteristic, we always try to point it out. And it's not unusual for a student to say, oh, you're being really resilient right now. And really noticing what is something specific a child is doing to show that learner characteristic, or that was really responsible of you to help your friend out. So this morning we did this very quickly. Every child picked their favorite learner characteristic, and they just sat in a circle and they just shouted it out. The app is really easy to use. You basically just talk into it, and you can mix different music with it, and then you can share it out to Twitter or Facebook or email it out. And so we did email it out this morning to get everybody pumped up for tonight, and we also shared it on our Twitter feed, and shared it out to our parents through email, so that was pretty exciting. But like I said, we also make movies on the iPad, and I sometimes will shoot them on my iPhone so I can upload them directly to our YouTube channel and send it out to parents directly. But we've made a couple of learner characteristics when we were focusing on respectful, responsible, and a couple of other ones. We created a quick movie. How does that look like to you to be respectful, to be responsible? What does it look like when you notice someone else showing that learner characteristic? And we just do a quick share out. It's very kind of impromptu, and students just share what they're noticing about that learner characteristic, and then it just goes to our YouTube channel and gets shared with a real-life audience. So that's pretty fun for us. Mr. Do you want to say anything about the movie? So the kids love to see themselves on the video. We get to watch them in the classroom. We get to talk about them. And I think the parents really enjoy it as well. So we do have a video to share with you that we did shoot in the classroom on how either we show that learner characteristics or how we notice others demonstrating that learner characteristic.
I am a challenge seeker. When I ask for new challenging words,
I see my brother showing the learner characteristic. Critical thinker when he's doing his homework.
He is a very deep thinker when he's doing his homework.
I see my little sister showing the learner characteristic respectful when she helps me make my bed.
I show respectful when I bow after my Taekwondo classes.
I show I am collaborative when I help others with a tricky book.
I show I am organized when I keep all of my stuff in a binder and I know where to find stuff.
I see my brother showing a learner characteristic and advocate when he asks for help.
I show I am challenge-seeking when I try to get a higher grade.
I see my brother showing the learner characteristic when advocate when he asked me to draw a choo-choo train for him.
I show the learner characteristic enthusiastic when I am not afraid to think.
I am respectful when I help other people clean up the mess.
I see my sister showing the learning characteristic organized when she puts stuff where they belong to where she can find them.
I see my sister showing the learning characteristic responsible when they do their homework as soon as they get home, not having to be told to.
I'm respectful when I'm walking the hall.
So the learner characteristic is just kind of how we do our classroom. It's kind of infused in everything that we do.
That's great.
Our next group are buddies. And they're from Ms. Katarva's first grade class and Ms. Garley's fourth grade class. They are excited to share with you some of the things they have done together this year. So if we can have Ms. Garley's students and Ms. Katarva's students come on up.
Hi, well, we wanted to talk to you about buddies. And first, I'm Ms. Katarva, and I teach first grade at Abraham Lincoln. I'm Ms. Garley, I teach fourth grade at Lincoln. And then I brought with me my friend Will and my friend Drew. This is Bridget
and Megan.
And we were going to talk to you about buddies. And We are not the only grade levels that do buddies together. There are lots of classrooms that do it in a variety of different grade levels. There's some that are first grade with second grade buddies. There are some that are first grade with fifth grade. There's first with third grade. So there's a lot of buddies that do happen in the school. But we came today to talk about how, at the beginning of the year, we kind of got together and we decided we really wanted to look at learning characteristics for what we wanted to focus on with buddies. And so a lot of the activities we did either picked a specific learning characteristic to work on or a variety of them. And then also Abraham Lincoln started focusing on one learning characteristic per month. And we kind of usually would try to kind of, whatever that one was the focus of the month, make some kind of activity that we are working on to go along with that learning characteristic. So with that, we're going to show you a couple of things that we did this year, but we're going to make it very, we got together with the students to see how they would, what we wanted to share, and we just were sitting and talking, and we thought, and they decided that it was the best way to tell you about what we did. So we're just going to be asking them some questions, and they're just going to be sharing with you the things that they learned and that with us. So I guess the first question is, what did we do this year at with buddies? So, well, can you tell us some things that we did this year with buddies?
Did we do a little kindness hearts?
We did some kindness hearts. And what did we have to do with those kindness hearts with our buddies?
We wouldn't think that we were really kind.
Oh, because was that one of our characteristics we were focusing on in school? Yeah, so then we hung those in the hallway for everyone to see, so they would figure out how to be kind. Jude, can you tell us another
thing? We also did the kid president thing.
Oh, so can you tell us about that?
We wrote pictures on how to make the world more awesome.
So, probably some of you probably thought it hit the web. It's about how to make the world more awesome. And actually, Jody Conrad, our teammate, actually wrote a CDL project, and we decided it would be a great way to showcase at the end of the year, kind of all of our learning characteristics. And so the kids are right now in the process of, there's a kid project kind of calling to action how to make the world more awesome, and they're actually planning what they're going to do to make the world more awesome.
Megan, what do you think?
Last week we went in the butterfly garden and picked the girls class up in the butterfly class.
And do you want to complete our budget?
So we actually, to get to know each other, the first graders and fourth graders interviewed each other, and then the fourth graders taught them how to use PowerPoint. And then last week, like I said, we just shared a special celebration. We watched their butterflies unleash in the garden, and that was really exciting for first and fourth graders.
And maybe do you want to tell about what you did, something special for the fourth graders when they were doing, when they were having to take some important tests?
We gave them an iStat letter.
Can you tell me what you did with that iStat letter?
I wrote Bridget's birthday on that because it was her birthday the day we made them.
Yep, we did. So they wrote letters to their fourth grade buddies, kind of telling them how to persevere and to keep challenged while they're taking those iStat tests. So I helped fourth grade. How did you feel when you got those letters?
I felt that it gave me more courage for my test. I felt really good because.
Yeah, and it was sweet because Mrs. Schreikhofer announces the birthdays on the announcements every day, and I guess Drew had heard that it was Bridget's birthday. He was so excited, and he wanted to make sure that not only he wrote her an iStat letter, but he also gave her a birthday card, too. So I just think the relationships that we've seen develop between these first graders and fourth graders is really incredible.
So what do you guys like about buddies? So what are some things that you like about buddies? So they help you. So what are some things they've helped you with?
The kindness hearts.
Oh, they helped you learn how to be kind, yeah?
And that we're all collaborative.
Oh, so you learned how to collaborate with them. Yeah.
What have you learned, Bridget, from working with the first graders?
Yeah,
you set a really good example. What do you think, Megan?
I learned that both of you are just really good.
How do you think they're alike?
Because they're teaching Catalina, and they're teaching what they know. So, kind of now I want you to think about, what did you learn from, like, what did you learn from the body?
I don't know how to do nice things. And I learned how to do
some PowerPoint stuff.
I was learning how to work on a PowerPoint, and they taught me how to do PowerPoint, write your PowerPoint.
What did you learn, Megan?
I learned that we can work together really well.
Heather, what are you learning?
Good.
And we also were an audience to the first graders when they did a play, and the fourth graders helped them revise and go through the writing process with their play also.
Because they came and were our dress rehearsal for us, and so then they gave us feedback afterwards, because the first graders, and I think you were just talking today at lunch about how they really helped you sort of feel so nervous when you met in front of our moms and dads. So, and they gave us some feedback like maybe we needed to talk louder, or maybe we needed to slow down, or maybe we needed to show our props better. So they gave us some that feedback. So how do you guys feel when you see your buddies around school?
Really excited.
Yeah, you feel really excited? Yeah, how do you feel?
I feel so happy. Yeah, in fact, too happy.
And how do you feel, Fish?
Oh.
And what about you, Megan?
I feel happy that
you said. Yeah. I mean, it's so cute though. We can't go anywhere when we see these kids. It is so exciting. Even in the library, the fourth graders will come back saying, "We just helped our buddy find a Just Right book in the library."
Yeah, and I same thing with my first graders. They get super excited when they see each other in the hallway, and sometimes they'll even come up to me on the playground and they'll say, "You know, we couldn't." A couple of them have come up and said, "How their fourth graders helped them solve a problem with a game at recess, or helped them solve a problem of getting their ball back." And so we've just seen so much that building, there's not that boundary anymore of a grade level, and the kids really see each other as peers and someone they can go to, not so much these are the fourth graders and these are the little first graders. So we've just seen such a relationship building, and they've been really taking a lot of these learning characteristics and putting them into action. And so we kind of wanted to end with showing you, this is our current project that we're working on, is how to make the world more awesome. And so this is just a snapshot of just recently in the classroom, and they're working on brainstorming what it would look like, sound like, and feel like to make the world more awesome. And so this is just a little...
That's the end of the email. So if we go to view shell.
Program this year, and they have done an amazing job building both leadership and stewardship in our students. And this is a PTA-sponsored club that we've working together to build those same kind of characteristics in kids. So this is you guys want to tell them a little bit about the PowerPoint we're going to see?
We made a video of what it means to be a leader and how you would describe a leader and what's tough about being a leader. And we also have what our favorite projects were.
And we also did who we thought was a leader.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the Ambassadors program is?
Well, it's a program for fourth and fifth graders, and you just help out, do service projects, go around talking to teachers. It's really fun.
You ready for the video?
Yeah.
All right.
Student Ambassador is a fourth or fifth grader who is helping out around the school and being a good role model for little kids.
A Lincoln Student Ambassador is someone, a fourth or fifth grader who wants to
volunteer their time to do extra activities and kind of be a leader and a role model for other younger kids.
I think that the traits of a Lincoln Student Ambassador are respectful, caring, responsible, collaborative, and safe. Those are the traits of a leader.
Some traits of a Lincoln Student Ambassador are helpful, respectful of the environment, respectful to the friends, friendly, and leaders.
I think a leader is someone who does nice things for other people without getting a reward.
A leader is constantly being looked up to, and they've got to be doing the right thing, or else people in the lower grades that are looking up to them might make the same mistake that they did.
I think a leader sets a good example for other kids, and they usually are respectful to teachers. Well, they are respectful to
teachers. What makes someone a great leader is the ability not to panic, their ability to command, their bravery, and because they have certain special qualities or ideas that others like.
I think Mrs. Schweikoffer is a leader because she always chooses what's best for our school.
I think Abraham Lincoln was a great leader because he stood up against half of the country and believed in what he thought. I also think that Martin Luther King was a good leader because he stood up for his kind instead of staying in the shadows and being picked on and bullied.
A leader is someone you want to be.
I think a leader is someone who can work with others to help them and guide them to their goal and work with other people successfully.
What's tough about being a leader is sometimes you have to make decisions that other people don't make. What's
tough about being a leader is you can't always be silly at certain times, but when you're just like joking around and it's not during reading time for school or math time or text, you do that at recess or after before school. Just not during school.
Sometimes your friends want you to do what you shouldn't be doing in front of the little kids, and you've got to choose the right decision.
It's hard to lead a group of people sometimes because someone might be fooling around and joking off, and that's distracting other kids. And if they're laughing at them, they're encouraging him. So you would have to take charge and ask him to stop.
Things that are tough about being a leader are, if you do something wrong, it affects almost everyone, and the pressure of doing something wrong, messing up, or just leading in general, and finally, you can get some criticism.
Lincoln Student Ambassadors come up with service projects, and then they do them.
Some of the projects we did were, we made a rain barrel for the school. We did a super crayon project. Sometimes we help clean up the playground.
One of our favorites was the Scarce Project, where we made super jumbo pads to help other people and kids with disabilities.
My favorite project was the Super Crayon Project, when we all had to collect crayons, peel them, then color sort them. And we gave them to a school that teaches people with special needs. And they originally asked for 470 super crayons, but we gave them 475 super crayons.
My favorite ambassador project this year was the Super Crayon Project because we had a goal and it wasn't easy, and the whole school helped us, and we ended up reaching our goal with 5 extra.
My favorite ambassador project was the rain barrel project. It was fun because we all got to participate, and if you were on the design team, it wasn't just one person's design chosen. They were all broken up and matched together, and I think it will help with the environment because we won't be using water from faucets, we'll be using rainwater, which is actually cleaner. I think the rain barrel project was fun because we got to decorate it, and we can know that we're reusing rain for the flowers and plants instead of using that bottled water.
think that my favorite ambassador project was the Super Crayons, because the whole school got to participate, not just the ambassadors, and also we won a great prize for entering it, and we won first place in Illinois.
I decided to become a Lincoln Student Ambassador, one, to have fun, two, to serve, and three, to be surrounded by good people.
Thank you, guys.
So, sorry, can I ask you guys a question? Could you talk a little bit more about that award that you won? And that's one. And two, did you win any other awards for any of your work this year?
The award that we won was for a PTA meeting, for the final PTA meeting, and it was for a Super Crayon project that we did.
Mrs. Massey, she went to a PTA meeting, and she entered it in a contest for the ambassadors of all the schools in the state. And there was, like, different, so, like, it was first everyone, and then a couple of people got eliminated, and then we ended up getting first.
Yeah, it was so environmental.
Mm-hmm. For the Super Crayon.
So that was the Super Crayon. Did you guys win anything for the Rain Barrel?
We weren't done with that.
Yeah, we just finished.
But we had donations.
Yeah.
We had donations from the DuPage County of a light free hose and
what else did they
donate? The barrel itself. So they were able to get all that donated, and they came and did a presentation at school with ribbon cutting, and it was very, very exciting for the kids. Cool. Happened to be on a rainy day, so we had to go to the lunchroom, but we still did a ribbon cutting.
Congratulations.
We've got one more group that we'd like to showcase, if that's okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is our last group, came out of our PBIS, our Positive Behavior and Intervention System Committee. This is Lauren, right there. Is our parent representative on this committee. And so at the end of last year, she talked to us about an idea she had for really including kids into the PBIS program. So this year, we started a program called ABE Assistance. And they are going to share with you some of the work they did that is really going to impact what we put in place for the rest of the school year and next year also.
Hi, I'm Anastasia.
I'm Sid Darwin.
I'm Lucy Lawrence.
I'm Grace Kendall.
I'm Sophie Sullivan.
I'm Lexi Jabal.
I'm Robin Matthew.
I'm Maddie Black.
I'm Jeff Johnson.
We are the ABE assistants from Abraham Lincoln Elementary School. Our teachers are always working to be the best they can be and make Lincoln a better place. They are teaching all of us to be the best that we can be. They teach us that every member of the team works together to make Lincoln the best they can be. We know that as students, we are a part of this team, and that's how our group got started.
As fifth graders, we are leaders, and we can play an important role at our school. At Lincoln, we call our PBIS program ABE's Way. We have been taught to expectation and how to behave both in and out of school. The staff wanted kids to have more ownership in this program and develop our team, which works to promote ABE's Way every day.
We meet multiple days each week and spend time talking and learning about leadership. We have held welcome lunches for new students and explained the ABE's Way expectations to them. We have organized games at recess because we think it's important to make sure that every student has a place. We hope with the ABE's Way ticket, we help with the ABE's Way ticket collection and rewards. We have started a writer's raffle where students can write and draw pictures about the learner characteristics and have their work displayed in our school. We've been very busy. We are very proud of one project that we've worked over 2 months. Mrs. Troy Coffer talked to us about the idea of surveying students to gather more information on our school environment what kids love about our school, and where we can improve it to like. We wanted to find out where APSO is working and where we can make some changes to the program to make it more effective. As a team, we created interview questions and interviewed 130 students in grades 1 through 5. We spent a great deal of time talking with each student and learned a lot about our school. We would like to share a small portion of our sample piece.
We started with asking students where their favorite place in the school is. We had an overwhelming class and discussion with teams about how much they love Lincoln. As you can see, Lincoln Leopards love to be in their classroom and discussions. Many of our teams pointed out how much they like their teachers and how they feel safe and happy with their teachers. We learned that students are really happy at school, but we also wanted to talk to teachers about any concerns. We thought bullying would be a good place to start.
We asked each student if they had ever encountered a bully at Lincoln, and if so, where it happened. This question gave us the opportunity to talk about the important issues that exist. We learned that the majority of Lincoln Leopards have not been bullied and don't think we have a big bullying problem, but they did share their observations and thoughts. As you can see, bullying occurs most often when kids are in less structured environments, such as recess and in the bathroom. Most often in a sneaky and with supervisors are not involved.
When we think of bullying, we think of one student using physical violence against the other. We learned that that is not the case. Most bullying is not physical, but it's still just as hurtful. Teasing, gossip, and excluding are more common. These bullying questions helped us to understand things better. If bullying does occur, it is where there is less supervision. That is where student leaders can step up and take an active role in preventing bullying and educating others about types of bullying. We think that it is important to always be aware of it and stay on top of it. We would like to start a consistent AIDS assistance presence at recess where we can help with supervision and in keeping students busy and happy. We would like to have kids educating kids on bullying and how each of us can make a difference.
We thought it would be interesting to know where kids that are aged like PBS ticket program is looking to represent us. There is a connection between places that kids like best in school and where they take aged ways. Even though everyone says that they love to go to recess, we think the data shows that kids like structure and being with teachers. Students like to know exactly what is expected. They think HLA works best in being there. They think it works least in less supervised areas. We think this shows that we need to keep working on teaching everyone that the way you act is just as important when no one is looking, as it is when you're in front of teachers. The teachers are doing a good job of making the tickets meaningful, and our school is always working toward a common goal.
This survey we conducted taught us a lot about our school, our staff, and our PBIS program. We have only shared a very small portion of our results with you tonight. We have presented our full results to the PBIS team and staff. We are now in the process of creating recommendations for our staff. We have lots of ideas to share, and it has been really cool that the staff is listening to our ideas and has encouraged us to do this survey when we start our project. We feel like we have completed a really big project and gathered a lot of valuable information. Thank you for having us here tonight, and we hope you enjoyed our presentation. If you'd like a copy of the full survey, we would be happy to share with you.
Thank you to our amazing students. For tonight's presentation, you guys made us proud.
Yes, you did.
Can we ask questions now?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me, how did you guys how did you actually conduct the survey? Was it on paper? Did you do it online? Did you guys go around and ask questions? How did you conduct the survey? Go ahead.
Well, it took us a very long time to collect all the information we needed. And after a while, when we did it on paper, we tried to hand out the surveys to each teacher, but we figured out that that wouldn't work. So we kept doing it on paper, and we had, I think, 9 questions that we asked different students from different classes and different grades. And we decided that we needed a bigger sample size because we started out with 60 and then we went to 130 to get more accurate results.
We ended up doing the survey at lunchtime.
And then when you guys collected the data, did the group of you meet and talk about what you thought the results meant?
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that surprised you?
I thought that it was kind of interesting to know that when most students have something to do at recess, they're less likely to get bullied or bully another person. But we noticed that when there's not a certain event or game going on, that kids just feel like they can bully someone else, and that's when most bullying happens.
Mm-hmm. I was also surprised to know that the students like to know what's expected of them, because without the interview, they wouldn't have realized that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
good one.
There was one Friday during the week, and we had a bunch of snow, and everyone was making these giant snowballs, and everyone was busy. And we realized that since they were so busy, there was no bullying and no problems that happened that day.
Interesting. Those are good questions, Tara. So what do you think you can do, having had this experience, as you move? Now you're all in, is this all fifth graders here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next year you go to Hadley, and then after that you go on to high school, right? So what are some ways you can take everything you've learned and continue to act with respect and live some of the learner characteristics? What do you think you can do to keep that going? Yeah.
We can show it through us to the younger kids and teach them how to not bully and be more effective than to be mean.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
And also everything we've learned, it'd be helpful not to learn it all this year and then forget it for next year, bring it on to Hadley.
Right.
We're also hoping that this program will carry on next year, so that we'll be fifth graders next year to educate the children as well.
Yep. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So how long have you guys been meeting as a group?
Since the beginning of the school year.
How often every week do you guys meet? Go ahead.
Well, we try to meet every Monday, but sometimes, when we were interviewing people, we sometimes meet on Wednesdays, but we have a lot of.
You guys gave up a lot of your own time, your free time, too, for a structured activity.
Go ahead, Ryan.
We usually did once a week until March, because March is when we started the interviews, so then we started doing it each week.
So you guys did another presentation somewhere else?
At our school.
In front of who?
Some of the staff members.
The PTA.
Mm-hmm.
And did you do the same presentation, or did you do a little bit more?
A little bit more, and describing the school a little bit, and what we did today.
Do you think the teachers and the staff are going to use what you've learn to help the PBIS next year?
After all this work.
Yeah. Do you guys have a plan? I mean, you collect all this data, you have all these survey results, so what are, we like to say, what are your next steps? What are some of the things that you think you guys can do to fix some of the issues that you noticed?
We were hoping that we could go outside at recess and organize games with the kids so that they wouldn't be
board, so congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Nicely done. Congratulations.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
thank you to all of you for giving up an important part of your evening and staying up relatively late. And thank you to the parents without whose support, both in the school programs and at home, we wouldn't have such fabulous students to present to us. So thank you to everybody for joining us this evening. And sorry we were a little cramped. We would have been equally cramped, I think, at Lincoln, wouldn't we? Thank you for coming.
Thank
we would
so
certainly welcome you to stay for the remainder of the evening if you like, but I know that you probably are looking forward to getting home to your homework.
Right.
Homework in bed.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Much.
We'll give you a moment to...
Nice job, you guys. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you, Mrs.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Nice job, Ms. Slab.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was excellent. This is what we want to see is them having responsibility, voice in the school.
And ownership.
Yes.
I mean, and I have to be like, well, she took this from, I was just the adult in the room. They created the question.
This is everyone
to give it to me. I laughed. It's on a video.
That's what we want.
I mean, they made the questions. And they kind of fell in themselves short for how much time they got. Because they interviewed kids one by one at recess.
I know, that's what it sounded like.
I mean, they gave up way more. I mean, there were many times where there were 4 or 5 days.
Thank you. Mike, could we get the lights back up? Thank you. Welcome. Please come in. There's plenty of seats. On our original agenda, we had the board moving into closed session. We will not be doing that, so we will move into our next agenda item. So welcome, everybody. All right, our next items are the consent agenda. I'm sorry, public participation. I'm sorry. Thank you. I missed that. Thank you, Drew.
That's okay.
All right, are there any members of the public who wish to address the board at this time? We welcome your comments. But ask if they be limited to 3 minutes. And as you hear your fellow public commenters, if your comments have been substantially identified, please leave anything you have written, documentation. I know we have, are they green sheets, Maureen, out there? Mrs. Stecker will collect that information and make sure we have it in the record. So please fill that out completely so that we have it. So who do we have, Maureen?
Kate.
Thank you.
I'm here as a concerned parent from Hadley in regard to a book that eighth graders are reading called The Princess and the Wallflower. I'd just like to say that I don't think that we're going to get anywhere by discussing the pros and cons of the book and whether or not, you know, it's good literature and whether or not it's beneficial from either parents' or teachers' perspective. But rather that you let us have a say in what goes on in our children's education, and that you let us participate in keeping them out of what we might feel would be harm's way.
Thank you.
And not try to override our input into that process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Jen and Brian with Bellfield.
Hi. We started this back in December, and we're asking that the book be removed from Hadley Classroom's library. It's not shelf the book, like I was told by the librarian, because of the mature content of the book. This book, since 2003, has been on the top 10 list of the most banned and challenged books in high schools across our country. Our teachers know how controversial this book is at the high school level. Brian and I have done extensive research since December trying to understand why this would be presented to the eighth graders in the classroom. The teachers recommend it to the kids and to understand that if a child starts reading a book, is not comfortable with the book, they can abandon the book, which my our daughter did after she had read what the damage is done. She read something that has upset her, made her uncomfortable. We can't even describe to you how hurt we are that this is allowed or recommended to her. Again, it's in their classrooms, available to both of them to read. They're asked to read things that they haven't read before. So how do they know what they're going to encounter when they go to their teacher and say, you know, what do you think of this one? Well, I think you should go ahead and give it a try. You know, this book is really vulgar. I don't know if anybody received my letter that I sent in on that.
We all did. Yeah.
And there's, you know, specifics of boy making a fake coupon advertising a free blowjob. This is what our daughter read. There was a guy named Carl Burns, and everyone called him CB. And one day CB got so drunk at a party, he tried to fuck the host's dog. And I am so embarrassed to stand here and read this. I'm hurt that two of the worst things in the book, there's many more, but there, I don't see a place for this for 13-year-olds. This has been terrible in our home, and I know several other homes, and I don't see why we should introduce it. As she said, why is it the teacher's place to say, you know, show this to our kids?
I'm going to jump in. I thought this was actually opportune to have all these kids up here, very innocent, talking about real issues, you know, bullying, things that are important at their age. Little do they know that these fifth graders in three years are going to be introduced to bestiality, homosexuality, heterosexuality, blowjobs for money, which raises the question, are blowjobs supposed to be free? I mean, these are just some of the questions that we've had to answer with our 13-year-old daughter from this book being introduced in eighth grade. And I can't imagine that this has even gotten to the level that it's gotten, that we're here today, that people are going to say that this is a book that should be in eighth grade. Now, all in everything that we've read as far as where this book has been banned or where meetings have taken place like this, they've all been high school. There's not one middle school that we found that has even gotten to this level. It's all been high school, and the majority of high schools have banned it. There's entire states that have banned this book. And we're in eighth grade talking about issues like this, and we've had these conversations. I don't know if, and I speak to you guys, and we don't direct this at any of you or any parent for that matter, but who wants, I didn't want to have this conversation with my daughter in eighth grade. Bestiality? I mean, come on. You know, I don't know. It's hard not to get emotional upset because we're here talking about things that we never thought we'd talk about. And again, these innocent kids right now talk about bullying and everything else in 3 years in our school district are going to be introduced to bestiality, homosexuality, heterosexuality, blowjobs, all these things because we think that that's good to teach our children in eighth grade. I think that that puts it in perspective. You know, our innocent child has already been tainted. These kids, you know, we make a decision on whether they're going to be tainted or not. You know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Maureen?
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having us here tonight. I also have great concerns about this piece of literature being suggested for our children to read at Hadley. And I did want to make it a real point here. I know a lot of you probably know that this book was turned into a movie for the big screen. And I did read an article from the author that said that they had to remove an immense amount of content of the book because the material in this book is R-rated, I mean X-rated, maybe R-rated, you know, I mean it's, the content is way, it's way too bad to be on the big screen, so they had to remove so much of it to make it a PG-13, and that was from the author himself. I also have yet to hear, I've participated in a lot of the dialogue. I've yet to hear the educational value of this book, and I know that the Bradfields did a lot of research, and they came up with a suitable alternative, and I think in our country we are so blessed to have a wealth of literature to choose from. I don't know that why we have to choose one with this kind of content. It doesn't make sense to me. And And also, I just really don't feel like it supports the core values of our district. I mean, once again, we looked at these children tonight, and as a mom, I have four children, and I've got four of them that are coming through this district, and my heart is heavy. I see them, and I'm thinking, you know, why would we want to expose them to things like this at just an inappropriate age? These are things that I didn't even find out about until adulthood. So, just to make sure I've got everything covered here, I just would appreciate your serious consideration and what we're trying to support and expose our children to at this age.
Thank you.
Jeff?
Well, I'd like to, in light of what I've just been hearing, I'd like to defer my comments until any other parents have had their chance to go ahead and speak on this. I'm kind of afraid of this as a taxpayer that does have a kid in the system. And if I was in your place, I wouldn't be calm, and I wouldn't be speaking nicely to anyone. So when we're all done, I'll be glad to get back up and speak.
I'll let you know.
I am an 8th grade literacy teacher, and I came to speak on behalf of our literacy program at the Hadley and middle school level. And I agree, I had a daughter go through Hadley and has just gone through high school. And while I was quite a bit older before I was exposed to some of these issues, she was not. And what I'd like to say is the book that is at question is a free choice book. It's not used in direct instruction. Children can choose the book to read it or not. Here's the problem with public education. Your daughter has wonderful parents who guide her and love her and have all of this contact with her. And we have lots of kids like that. We also have kids that don't have that behind them. Like it or not, your daughters and your sons at 8th grade have heard the word blowjob. They have had those conversations in the lunchroom or the hallway or heard the side conversations. I'm just telling you, I've been at this for 30 years, and so what they are exposed to in terms of dialogue, in terms of media, it's out there. I don't like it any more than you do, but it's there. And here's the value of literacy, and here's the value that I saw with my daughter when she read books. They're uncomfortable conversations. They're hard to go to. They are. What characters in books are able to do is to show bad decisions in terrible situations and good decisions in terrible situations, so that when my daughter finds herself in those situations, she'll have some background knowledge to navigate the process. In this particular book, the blowjob scene was really about date rape and how easy it is for a young girl to come into a situation with a boyfriend and find herself in a situation she doesn't know how to get out of. And the beauty of that scene in the book, while it's disturbing, is that it can open up the conversation about maybe she shouldn't have gone into that room with him in the first place. You know, there are those sorts of things that literature can give to kids. And we can't assume that our children's experience and life experience is the same as the next child's life experience. I have children in my classroom who need this knowledge now because they're facing those issues. It's free choice. It's not used as direct instruction. And you cannot take away from children who need to have those conversations literature just because it upsets some other children. That is why our policy is that parents have absolute last say on any book their child reads. And we honor that all the time. So if you don't want your child reading a book, they don't have access to the book. We don't give them.
30 seconds.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you have to.
And so I just want you to know that this is not something that we read aloud, have class discussions about. It's not something we force anyone to read, but we do, and we never force a child to read a book if a parent doesn't want them to. And we'll find other alternatives for them. So that is the context in which this book was used.
Thank you. Maureen?
Are we done speaking, or can you rebut?
No, no, this is not a dialogue. This is not a discussion. It's public participation, which means...
A question.
Well, I'll just object and say I didn't think we had a problem with public education. Overruled, object, you know, heard me.
Maureen, is there anybody else who's submitted? Okay. Mr. Cooper?
Okay. A little different note here. I'm going to be talking about fiscal issues with the district.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some questions and I got some comments tonight for the board. I've noticed the checkbook listings in tonight's agenda packet. And I'd like to say, while it's nice there is a listing of the vendors, a description of what each check was written for is necessary. Looking over last year, I noticed checks for thousands of dollars to District 16, District 34. A simple explanation would give us needed transparency. Especially needed is a listing of charges for the monthly MasterCard bill. It's ranged from around $15,000 to $50,000 a month. The transparency is absolutely necessary to assure taxpayers that our money isn't being wasted. To change subjects, it's time to start dissecting the new teacher's contract that we waited a year and a half to find that there was very little for the people who we were supposed to represent, the taxpayers of District 41. There was no change in virtually any of the over-the-top perks, from too many sick days, personal days, association days, to almost no change in the insurance contribution. And if I'm correct, a retiring teacher can get on top of pensions topping $100,000 a year and insurance payments for up to 10 years, a cash payment now of up to $28,000, including $1,400 for sick days used to add on two extra service members. There needs to be a lot more public discussion before another contract is negotiated in this district.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. And I know we've said this before, but we welcome a conversation, certainly one-to-one, to go into further detail. You and I have had several conversations up by the telephone. I'm happy to have those again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Thank you very much.
I do want to mention there is another opportunity at the conclusion of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
While we do not engage during public participation in dialogue, it isn't a discussion period, it is a participation, but if you have an interest in making a comment at the end of the meeting, you can fill out a green sheet, or if you've already spoken and you want, Maureen, just to add that you're speaking again, mm-hmm. certainly you may do so.
Thank you. All right, action items, our consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes... Item 1, the Human Resources Personnel Report. We have an updated version at our desk. Employment Recommendations and Resignation. And a resolution authorizing the dismissal of education support personnel. Item 2, Finance, Facilities, and Operations. The Treasurer's Report, Investment Schedule, Monthly Revenue, Expenditure Summary Report, Summary of Bills and Payroll, School District Payment Order, Vandalism Damage Report, Disposal of Surplus Property, and the 2012-2013 FOIA Report, and other matters including the approval of Board Meeting Minutes from the April 8, 2013 regular meeting, the April 8, 2013 regular closed session, April 22, 2013 special meeting, and the April 22, 2013 special closed session. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Von Graff?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Right. Superintendent's recommendations. At its April 8, 2013 regular board meeting, the board discussed the following administrative recommendations. Number one, the 2013-2014 student fees. No change in student fees for the 2013-2014 school year. Basic fees are early childhood and kindergarten, $56, elementary, $75, and Hadley, $115. Activity fees at Hadley are, for the first activity, $30, the second activity, $15, and third activity, $7.50. The fourth activity is $3.75. Fees for items such as gym uniforms, assignment books, recorders, and yearbooks will be determined based on the cost of the item, information that will not be available until the spring. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
Well, I asked Bob today for, and thanks for the information, Bob, a breakdown of the basic fees versus the activity fees and how much revenue is generated by each portion. And from what I understand, if I'm correct, the basic fee is $253,500 per year per district-wide, right?
So we budget.
And the activity fee is $73,000 per year district-wide, right? Okay. I've been suggesting this since I think I've been on the board that I'm questioning the need for the basic fees given the amount that we all as taxpayers pay to have our kids go to school. So I guess what I'm saying is I'd like to make a motion to amend the recommendation to eliminate the basic fees and to just charge for the activity fees that are set forth in the recommendation.
Second.
Discussion?
Are you making a motion?
You're making a motion to amend the superintendent's recommendation?
I am.
All right. And Dan, you seconded?
Sure.
Okay. Discussion?
I mean, we've talked about this a lot. Especially now, we talked about what do we set aside reserves for. One of the things we had set aside was the purchase of a large property of land. I think we set around $3 million aside for that. Now that we've tabled that motion, it seems like it frees that up. Why not use that?
Well, we're not at all finished discussing facilities. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that money is being earmarked for other things at this point. I know that what Bob had sent in information, this $253,500 doesn't seem like a lot of money. However, at Finance Committee tonight, we just looked at the amended budget and with
the proposed budget.
There's the potential that we're going to lose, again, some percent of our general state aid and other dollars. So I would respect the fact that you bring this up each year. You have for 2 years. You've been on the board, right? And I understand what you're saying. I would like to suggest that we actually bring this back to finance and let finance have a discussion about it in lieu of where we are with the budget. That $250,000 doesn't seem like a lot in the scheme of things, but it's one piece of a larger conversation. And we've not had, to my understanding, at least in the number of years I've been on the board, any significant call for question around it, pushback on fees, et cetera. So, I think it's worth a discussion to have at Finance Committee and put it there.
I think in the 4 years we've talked about it every year. It's come up. Mm-hmm. I would say we've been having this conversation for quite a while.
Well, I guess I agree with you, Dan, because I think every year it comes up and Ken Wood always says, I don't understand.
Why
are
we
have
them?
This discussion, but I guess the reality that it seems to me is that we have the discussion at the table, but it's not going back to finance to have another conversation as to what other alternatives for that piece are or ways to address it. I don't feel that it's gone back to finance to have those questions answered.
We didn't have a discussion about it at finance.
I guess I am comfortable with sending it back to finance to have the discussion over it because clearly it's an issue. I don't know how that impacts, I guess I'm looking at my finance people here going, with registration coming up, although the activity fees, I don't think that impacts it as much as the basic fees because the activity fees don't really occur until the kids start school, and that's traditionally a middle school issue, correct? We don't have that.
And that's not what you're suggesting in your amendment is taken away.
Correct.
Yeah, it's just the basic fees.
Yes.
If I might just make a comment about using reserves, if our current proposed budget, which shows a $70,000 surplus for next year, if we used reserves, we would be operating in a structural deficit because these are operational costs. So I wouldn't recommend that the board look at using fund balance for operational fees, operational costs, because that will, you know, take us into another level of spending and budget deficit budgeting. So it would really require a revision in the budget to remove that those expenditures from something else that we currently have in the budget, I think. I mean, I would just recommend that. Otherwise, I mean, you're going down that slippery slope.
I think you'd be okay for 1 year, and then, you know, you have another year. I mean, you know, we talked about reserves, and now that, you know, a big ticket item has been taken off the table, you know, this seems like something that would fit perfectly into it. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't my focus, was to use the reserve. My focus was to do, as you're suggesting, to relook at the budget and allocate funds in such a way where we don't need to do this. Because in my mind, it's always been in my mind that it's almost as if we're double dipping here. You know, we're paying our taxes and we're sending our kids here, and then we're paying just a fee to walk in the door, which to me doesn't seem right. And I think I've been consistent with that, and so that's what I'm suggesting.
Could we amend the motion to have this go back to finance and have it be a part of the budget discussion, since we're looking at our proposed budget and that's going to come to the board in May anyway?
Sure.
I just think it will follow board protocol to have this as a finance issue to be discussed by finance first and then brought to the whole board.
I don't have any problem.
Okay. Right.
I just don't know what, I mean, to me this seems simple, so I'm not quite sure what. When you take it back to finance,
I don't have a problem with fees. I mean, they're user fees. Every district has them. Are you going to go back to the people that paid those fees and don't have kids in the school anymore? That you're going to make up for that fees that they paid before? Or you just started while you had kids in school?
No, it's just, you know, when you talk about free public education, I think that's where, you know, my motivation is.
And again, we go round and round. I mean, we do. This comes up every year, and it's about free public education. But we pay a lot of money for these kids to go to high school, and the fees that we pay at high school. So the unfortunate reality of our lives are, unless you're on free and reduced lunch, you're paying a fee wherever you go. And it doesn't matter if we're in elementary, middle, or high school. Those of us who have high schoolers know we pay a lot of money for books, for the sports, drivers, whatever they do at high school, and that's a free public education. There is a fee attached to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the activity fees are that. I know that's not your issue; it's your basic fees. But I personally don't have a problem with it. It is what it is. We pay them at every level of education.
Well, you have a motion on the floor. That's been an amendment. A second. Are you comfortable taking a vote? Or?
Well, I'd like to request, again, just for protocol, to be able to. John isn't here, and so we have one board member who's not been able to be here to weigh in. And I think because we haven't had this conversation aligned with the budget, it makes some sense to me to go back to finance and then have our assistant superintendent weigh in on this and get that feedback as well.
I would only suggest that you will have a reconstituted finance committee that may not be reconstituted by May 13th, which is the next board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just part of rolling forward.
Yes, it may, I think.
Yeah. Pardon me?
The protocol.
That's how it needs
that's
to
our
be.
System. Yeah.
And if you need to have in-depth conversation on the issue, I think that's probably appropriate.
The new board members.
Right.
Okay. So could we amend the motion?
Then I think you'd be withdrawing your motion and table the item and give direction to the administration to take it back to finance?
So I will withdraw my motion to amend the recommendation and make a new motion
to table
the recommendation, which needs a second.
Yes.
Second.
Okay. Roll call. You got it all, Maureen? I know you're trying to capture this.
Tabling
it.
Well,
Mrs. Howard.
Sorry, specifically to table.
To go back to finance.
To go back.
With direction to go to finance.
Right, correct. Right.
Yes.
Mrs. Howard, Mr. Black.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Mrs. Smith.
Yes.
Andrea?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Second item is the adoption of amendment to District 41 403B retirement plan. The Board of Education approved a resolution adopting amendment to the Glen Ellyn School District 41 403B retirement plan. I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation.
Motion. Second.
Okay, any discussion? I know we've talked about this in the last meeting.
This is no cost to the district and simply a benefit that we're affording our teachers, those who participate in 403Bs, to transfer any previous 403B into their current 403B.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion, questions? No? Roll call, please.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrak?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Nelson.
Yes. Item 3 is the Hadley LMC Technology Refresh. The Board of Education approved the refresh of the Hadley Library Media Center, LMC, as a part of the summer's remodeling project, which would include the acquisition of 33 iMac desktops and 2 Mac Pro servers in the amount of $50,103.27 with a 5-year fair market value lease through American Capital Leasing. Annual cost for the equipment will be $10,580.66. Total cost for this investment will be $52,903.30 at the end of the 5-year commitment. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
You're not buying these till later in the summer?
No, we'll buy them now.
The Mac servers are being refreshed. They've pulled all the stock in Europe. I wouldn't buy it now. You're going to get older technology. I'd wait till the summer. They're going to add a bunch of stuff into it.
Steve, do you know exactly when?
It's Apple. But all the rumors websites say, yeah, they're getting a new Mac server that's going to have USB 3.0 and some other I.O. and a bunch of other stuff that they haven't put in it. And it said they pulled all the stock in Europe in anticipation of the new server units coming out. I wouldn't buy them this month.
Would be worth checking into.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion or comments?
I do have one question on here. So we have the list of the Apple equipment. What is that? I just was confused with the grand total here because I see the two $50,000 items and then I see some LMC that totals $14,400. But then there's a comment that says this equipment will be purchased not to exceed $26,400, so I'm a little confused.
Right, that's some of the presentation materials like the projectors, the screens, some of the other equipment that would also be incorporated in for the main area of the library as well as the demonstration area, the demonstration lab. So it's mostly projectors, smart boards, and projectors to support the smart boards.
And so these,
installation.
So that must mean some of these are some estimates then?
Correct.
That was for the second part, the additional cost and information panel?
Okay. Right, not a part of the proposal.
Right, okay.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's that so that section saying just saying here's so you have a full picture of what.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we're just looking at that first part. Thank you, Dan. Anything else?
So is there a drop-dead date where you have to have this stuff ordered to get in for the fall?
Well, we'll need it in district at least by end of June, early July, in order to implement it in time for fall. We don't anticipate the construction of the library to be completed until early August, so we probably won't have access to that space until then. But we'll need to have the equipment here and ready to go so we can begin installation so it's ready to go by fall.
Anything else? All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrak?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. Item 4 are the Elementary Music Department iPad proposal. The Board of Education approved the purchase of 20 iPads from Apple with funds from the 2012-2013 budget in the amount of $11,160 as well as $888 in apps. The apps will also be purchased with funds from the 2012-2013 budget. The total cost of the project is $12,048. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion.
Second. I forget to do that. Discussion.
It all seems pretty cool, but I've never obviously used any of these things. And, some of the things, I don't know which one it was, the garage band or something that makes you into a virtuoso just by being able to use it. So, I mean, that's just a small concern in that it's a music slash and you're supposed to learn how to play yourself versus play a video game and become an expert instantly. But it's a minimal cost, I think, of it wasn't GarageBand, it was something else. But it was $2.99 for the app. So it was a concern, but not a huge concern. And my feeling is, if any of these things will help kids become more interested in music and to extend their musical career, so to speak, I'm all for it. So, the only real negative I see is some kind of accountability down the road, but if we purchase the apps, we can't give them back.
Accountability that they're being used?
Yes.
Well, they've written it into their curriculum, and so I don't know. We can show you the music teacher's curriculum, which is a really well-developed elementary curriculum, and you probably see some of the application there.
Well, I mean, I'll take your word for it, obviously, if they've incorporated it into their curriculum, but I assume that they will be...
It's another resource for them as a teaching tool.
Okay.
I know that in some of the part of the presentation, to your point, Sam, there was some alignment between your first point about they're still going to have a recorder, they're still going to learn, the basic scales and all that stuff, and then to be able, because they're already using a lot of this stuff at home anyway, on tablets and pads and all that, but to be able to marry some of that in the classroom so they're teaching it from a, kind of a curricular standpoint. So,
we're not getting rid of the recorder?
No, Dan, we are not. In fact, that's one of the fees. To buy the recorder. I have two at home.
We're sending them home.
Yeah.
And those are not to be shared.
So get ready. It's a good question. Yeah. Anything else? All right, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. Item 5, confirming the process for the 2013 amended budget. The Board of Education ratify and confirm making the amended budget available in tentative form beginning April 9th, 2013, publishing notice on April 11th, 2013 of the availability of the amended budget and of the public hearing schedule to begin at 7:15 on May 13th, 2013 at Benjamin Franklin School where our board meeting will be. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion. Second.
Okay, discussion.
This is the amended budget, which we moved some administrative costs and then updated all of the other accounts and posted it after our April 9th board meeting. So this is just affirming that that's been posted and we are following through with a hearing on the 13th.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion, questions? I know we all have copies of it. We've seen it. All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bondrack?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Item 6, request for reconsideration of library resources. The Board of Education uphold the recommendation of the Reconsideration Committee to retain the book Perks of Being a Wallflower by Stephen Chofsky for Hadley for independent reading by 8th grade students only and not to be used for instructional purposes. Parents will be notified each trimester by a letter that discusses the importance of parental awareness of student book choices. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Can you just see a show of hands of the parents that are here in opposition?
I need to do the process first and have the board have discussion, right? Again, may I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
Well, I can go first, I guess. This is a very difficult issue, obviously very sensitive. To me, censorship is extremely sensitive, and I'm very reluctant to censor any material
just for obvious reasons, in the history of our country and the history of the world, there have been, you know, masterpieces that have been written and talked about it and potentially censored for various reasons, so I'm very hesitant in that. However, before this issue came up, I did not read this book. I did not see the movie, so I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. We were provided the passages that are in question here, and I tend to agree that this type of book with this type of issues, in my mind anyway, does not have a place in a middle school. I do understand that it's not available at the Hadley Library, and it's only available in the classroom for the independent study. And I think I'm correct in saying that kids who want to read the book have to have parental permission to read it.
No, they do not.
Okay. Well,
we can answer. There's three. What the recommendation is suggesting is, right now there is a letter that goes home at the beginning of the year reminding parents that ultimately they have the say over whether a child should read a material that's in the classroom or even in the library, and puts the responsibility on the parent to review that material with their children. The recommendation suggests doing that three times each trimester to remind parents of that, but does not require a parent permission, as this recommendation is written.
How does the parent know what is available in the classroom? How do they find out?
If I may, my daughter has read this book. My daughter is an eighth grader. I also have a daughter who's a freshman who also has read this book. Both of my children have seen this movie. My child was given this book in the very beginning of the school year by her teacher. She talked to her teacher about looking for a book that might spark her interest. She did not enjoy reading and needed to read her 25 books this year, which is probably one of the best things that we do in eighth grade, is require that. And she was given that book. It was a suggestion, and she brought it home, and we looked at it, talked about it, and she read the book. And I feel as a parent, that is my responsibility and role as a parent. That's my job. I feel that I echo your comments about censorship, and I think we as parents and as board members who have been around cannot, in today's day and age, put our heads under the sand and think that our children don't know and are not exposed to things on an everyday basis at their schools, amongst their friends. I mean, I sat here tonight and watched how many kids with iPhones in their back pockets. I mean, that was really, truthfully, quite startling to me. We live in an age where these kids are exposed to things much sooner than we as parents really want them to be, and I'm the first person to acknowledge that. However, I can't go backwards. We can't go backwards. And we make these decisions as parents of whether we feel these books are appropriate. Unfortunately, to many parents and maybe to many children, this is not material that is suitable for them. And hopefully the parent, the student and teacher might recognize that. And that as a parent, we have the ultimate say on what our children read. But to ban a book from our libraries, I think, goes against every principle that we have.
Just correction, it's already banned from the library.
In our classroom.
Oh.
And that it is not a read-aloud. I just want to harken back to my very first year on the board where there were read-alouds from a particular book that were controversial, discussing suicide and discussing issues that were very prevalent. And we upheld that as well, as that was something that was a discussion. I think Dr. Bruno has, in her reference, highlighting a discussion that maybe even a parent and child would have about date rape. Our children watch Glee. I mean, I'm sorry, but maybe not in your homes, but in many homes they do. And that's a choice that we as parents make. I don't know if we have to go so far and people are comfortable with, you know, every book a child takes out,
The note goes home with the student, and the parents sign off on the book that they read. I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be like to have to do. But that's our job as parents. I mean, maybe that's the discussion that you have with your child of, you know, when you bring your book home, I want to see what books you've chosen at school. The read-alouds and what they choose within a classroom are very different. You know, I mean, that's a discussion that you have with your child. And the truth is, not every kid in our district goes home to homes like ours. And that sometimes there are things that are not easy for us to address. And this might be a place that a child has a safe place and a safe environment that they feel they have an adult they can talk to. I don't know, but I do not believe that we should be banning books. I believe the recommendation to remind parents to have those discussions with their children is what's appropriate.
To go back to your question,
yeah.
I'm not sure that there is probably an easy way for a parent to know every book that's in a classroom, in a classroom library or available to a student, or every book that's on the shelf of the library. I think probably the best thing that a parent would be able to do would be to request, what are the books you intend to teach this year, and what books might you be using for small group study, and be able to get that list from a classroom. But I think, you know, just to know every book that's on a shelf of a teacher's classroom library would probably be...
I mean, Dan, some of these classrooms, I mean, I'm just going to use Lynn's as an example, and Ms. Tannenbaum, I think you guys, I mean, thousands of books that they have in their room. And, it's thousands of books. Not every teacher has that many books. I know the 8th grade libraries are stocked, because kids have such a wide berth of what their interests are. And again, the 25 book requirement, they conference with their teacher. Again, this is my experience with my two students, but they conference with their teachers about what is appropriate, what is their just right book, what are some of these things that they are to be reading. But, you know, again, it is unfortunate that our kids are exposed to way more than we want them to be. And some of that we cannot control, but
we can control this one though.
Excuse me, sir, this is the board's discussion. If you'll, we can hopefully respect that.
We have one person that's for this, and the entire room is not.
Well, I just, sir, I just want to. This is the board's vote that they have to take, and so if you could respect their ability to have a discussion.
Well, she's including Ms. Tannenbaum in the conversation, so. Did you not just ask Ms. Tannenbaum how many
Tannenbaum
books?
Is not in the class.
Or whoever you're looking at over here?
We're going to continue the board's discussion.
All right.
Thank you.
So the, in terms of censorship, you know, I'm against that because, you know, what if there's a book I want, and somebody else doesn't want? I don't like that because it could go the other way. But one of the things I'm looking at in this case is the fact that it's not in the library. And so then I'm like, okay, well, how as a parent, how am I going to know what they have? And so this, I don't see that process laid out in here for me to know, you know, what is available to my child. So that's the problem I have with this, is that if I don't know, then I can't say yes or no on this book. And so that's the issue I have. I mean, I don't see any, you know, there's no set process in here for the parent to know ahead of time, you know, what, you know, a checkoff list or something, you know, a rate, you know, I don't know if these books, you know, like movies have ratings, you know, I mean, that's what I do, Tarim, I don't know what, you know, like my TV rating at home is set pretty low because I want my kids stumbling on some TV show. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it kind of feels like here is there's this book's out there and I don't see a clear path on how I find out what they can and can get exposed to.
I guess,
because if you talk about respecting parent choice, then how are you going to respect my choice?
I understand where you're coming from, and I guess that's from my perspective. You know, that's a discussion that we have. They bring home, you know, that is the honest, open dialogue that I have with my family, and I trust my kids. They come home, they bring me the books, we talk about them. We are a book house. But this isn't a discussion about what we do as families. For me, this is a discussion about, I do view this as censorship, and that, you know, it is up parents, and it's about, it's a book that teachers, you know, are going to have, and have that discussion with the student, and that require, I mean, the student to have the discussion with their parent. I guess it's hard for me to feel like I don't know. I'm a fifth grader. I don't know every book that they read. I mean, she brings stuff home, and I see it, but there's certainly books I've never read before. I mean, and I realize it's fifth grade, but my point is they get together in groups, and they choose books that they find for themselves, and, I guess my next comment is, where does it end? And that for me, I have a very hard time with that. Again, 8 years ago, we went down this path, in a poetry book, and if the board supported the policy and upheld the book, and I just there's a process in place.
So the policy talks about age appropriateness, I think, and I have a very hard time with this specific book with the age appropriateness of it. And I understand that's a subjective term. But in my mind, it's not appropriate for our eighth graders to read.
Well, it's about a boy starting freshman year in high school.
Well, that's freshman year
and I mean,
in high
this is—that's where they are, though. See, and I mean, that's where these kids are.
Can we let other board members respond?
Drew, you wanted to say something?
You know, I'm really not in favor of the censorship issue. I guess if before this book would be parceled out to a child, would a parent have knowledge of this?
Not necessarily.
Okay, then if we're going to do something that I think is not age appropriate, I think it should have parental approval. Before that happens.
The problem with that, Drew, and I agree that it should have parental approval, but what happens if my daughter or someone else's daughter goes to their friend's house and the friend has the book and their parents think it's okay, but I don't think it's okay. We don't think it's okay. She goes there and reads it and says, yeah, I got this from my teacher at school. To me, that's not good enough. The censorship issue, it's not like we're banning the book from the world. I don't know. I didn't check at the Glenelg Library, but I think it's available there. If it's not, then we have a bigger problem. But
well, we wouldn't be able to control it there. Yeah. That's not our
so my position is if parents want their kids to read books with this sort of content, I think that they can go with them to the public library and check it out. I don't think a book with this type of issues is pursuant to our board policy of age appropriateness is not appropriate in our schools. And I understand it's my opinion, but
I think it's the recommendation, talked about or laid steps down that had the ways for the parents to know ahead of time or somehow do it, then I can support it. But in the way this is written, it's either, all or nothing. And so that's the part that bothers me.
So if I understand the recommendation, I'm going to read it out loud. Retain the book at Hadley for independent reading by 8th grade students only. The book should not be used for instructional purposes. In addition, the committee recognizes the book is not appropriate for every student due to the mature content of the book. Currently, Hadley teachers sent a letter home to parents at the start of the year that discusses the importance of parents being aware of their child's book choices. This letter will now be sent to parents at the start of each trimester to serve as an additional reminder. And so that's the recommendation.
Yeah, I'm still trying to understand how the parents understand what they're reading ahead of time. Because you got an hour and a half for literacy, right? I'm assuming somebody can start reading that book, beginning period, and then go home and find out what they're reading.
Right.
So I think you have to have some way. Or you have to write a list of all the books. It's just...
Which in a classroom library would be unlikely. Just like you wouldn't see a list of books of the LMC. That's too many. So I think that's probably unwieldy. Unless it's a book that's on a list of books to be... So I think having that list, at least from a practical standpoint,
just let parents know if their kids if it's going to be recommended to them or however it happens. I don't know how kids stumble upon. I don't know what books my kids have read, but, you know. But, yeah, when I read this, I don't quite think it was eighth grade material. You know, you can always say, I don't censure it. At what age is it appropriate? How young would the committee at Hadley say? Just eighth grade? I know it's not the question.
They made that decision that just eighth grade.
Yeah.
That was.
But if you've got a teacher now deciding what they feel is appropriate for their student without the parent really being involved at some point. And I think you have to involve the parent that wants to be involved. And again, we do have some parents that probably don't get as involved. And, you know, I trust the teachers do, you know, recommend things they think may be good, but you have to let the parents decide sometimes about some of these books. I mean, this is the first time I've been on the board in 6 years that we've had something like this come up. So I got to believe there's a wealth of books there that you can read that somehow this doesn't have to be. You've got to get some permission from parents to read this book, I would think.
Yeah.
It's all right. Any other comments? All right. I'll make one quick comment in closing. I picked the book up last week at the Wheaton Library. I'm in the Wheaton Library District, and I read it. I felt it was important for me to understand the context because I know, and I thank you for putting the material together, Branfield's, so that we could see what you were objecting to and your thought process with this. The really challenging part of this, I think, for all of us is we're hearing this, and certainly for everyone, all of us in the room, and for those who couldn't be here tonight who might be interested in this on either side of the argument, is that it is subjective on some level. And, to Steve's point, this book might not even be appropriate for somebody in ninth grade or 10th grade, depending on their maturity level. But it might be appropriate for somebody at the end of eighth grade as their maturity level is higher. You know, I don't know that. I just know that one of the really challenging things about this kind of discussion is what Dan brought up earlier, which is, and Tara too, and that is there might be a book, and I did in a little bit of my research read about a particular book that was being requested to be removed from a school because it had too much religious application in it. And so I thought, well, you know, is that something that I would support or not? So I tried to think through iterations of this, which I think is one of the biggest challenges. The potential for strengthening the communication tool is absolutely there. And whatever the board votes, this conversation certainly could continue back to our teaching, learning, and accountability in terms of making some accommodations for that. I think I hear some consensus, at least on the board level, for that. So I'll wrap that up. It is a challenge. Ready? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
No.
Mr. Ellis?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Vondrak?
No.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much, also.
What happened then?
They rejected the recommendation.
The board rejected the recommendation.
Oh, good.
What happened?
And the book will have to be removed from Hadley.
Correct.
Right.
Thank you very much. All right. Superintendent's report. Anne.
Quickly, you have your enrollment there. I'm not going to speak much about that other than Sam. We still have many students in
Portable.
I think it was 482 or something like that. Anyway, I wanted to just two very quick things, and that was the insurance renewal. We talked about it at finance, and just wanted to thank really everyone in the district for a great performance on our health insurance benefits. Our renewal this year. It first came in at 4.1 for our PPO and 2.1 for, I'm sorry, 1.8 for our, 1.3 for our PPO and 4.1 for our HMO. Then, as a result of making some changes in our cost sharing on the GIA contract with regard to pharmaceuticals, we've reduced our PPO to a 0.1 and our HMO to a 2.8% increase and our dental at a 1.8. So really, really great renewal rates in terms of keeping our benefit costs under control. And then secondly, I wanted to just give appreciation to the board one more time for approving two additional assistant principals at our elementary schools. We have posted two positions, and we're looking forward to increasing in our resources at the elementary. So thank you once again.
You're welcome. That's it? Board reports. Drew?
We had a finance meeting earlier this evening. We talked about the preliminary budget that we will have further discussions on as the meetings continue. There was a recommendation for tables at Franklin and Churchill. There was a recommendation for a essentially the smart board technology in the PE.
In the gyms?
Gyms.
Mm-hmm.
PE.
PE. Mm-hmm.
And
the large projector down for smart board.
Yeah. The projection systems for our PE curriculum.
Okay.
That it?
That was it.
Okay. Sam, anything on policy?
Policy committee is meeting May 1st to review section 1.
Mm-hmm. All three.
All three policies. And to finalize the school board policy and procedure process map, which is basically the timeline of the year for
right.
policy committee to complete certain things.
Right. Excellent. We'll see you then.
I attended the Lincoln PTA meeting last week. They did their elections for the positions. All were filled except for president. Seemed like no one
Nobody
person
wants
to do it.
No one can replace Chris.
And it's funny you say that because since you're rolling off the school board, you have.
Yeah.
Well, oh, there you go, Dan.
We mentioned that the VP and the secretary had the last name Smith, so why not make it? But it sounds like they're going to amend their bylaws to allow co-presidents. They found two people willing to share, so. That'll be okay. Someone did ask a question about District 89 and 41. They said, why can't we combine? They have excess facilities. We're short. So I said I would bring that question back. There's also a question
did
about...
they volunteer to be bused? South Original?
No.
Oh, they didn't? Okay.
They just wanted to bring that question up.
Well, bring it to
just everyone keeps saying that. I'm just wondering, all these people that want to get bused to the school in District 89, who currently walk to their school?
It's a question. I'm with you. It's a question.
Okay. There was a question about can we have the early portables there. Also, they talked about they had a flip-flop day last week in anticipation of another activity in May where they would kind of simulate what the school day would look like next year with the two different teachers
mm-hmm.
Split up. And actually, they're going to have some literacy and STEAM activities. I believe it was NIU Outreach mm-hmm. was involved in that. And then May 16th, which is a PTA meeting, is actually going to hold it at night where people can come see a presentation about info on next year's plan, specifically with regard to the school year. And that's it.
All right. Other board reports? Anything else?
Yeah, I have a few. Sorry.
Go right ahead.
Lincoln Tell and I had to go back in time to figure out what happened between the last board meeting So Lincoln Tell and I was Friday, April 12th. There's a record amount of participants this year, so they're thinking of apparently splitting the Tell night into two nights because there's just so many kids.
So many talented kids.
So many very, very talented kids, including two kindergarten acts, which was the first this year. It's very interesting, let me tell you. It really was. The spring band concert was April 16th at Glen Rive West, and as always, all the band directors did a fantastic job, and the kids were very excited and and played very well. I'm always surprised that the kids at that age can play such actually complicated pieces very well. So kudos to them as well. I know most of us attended the legislative forum that was at Hadley on the 22nd, and maybe Erica will have a little bit more to say about that.
Yeah, that's not.
And the PTA district honorees, do you have that somewhere? Sorry to put that spot. This morning I attended the Lincoln Dare graduation. The fifth graders went through the Dare program and received their diplomas. Some of them read their essays, and they were very in-depth and very reflective. I took two things out of that. Reminding what a great teaching staff we have, obviously the fifth graders at Lincoln, but I'm sure that reflects throughout the district. And also what a great working relationship we have with the Glen Allen Police Department and their dedication to the program. And I'd like to single out, too, if I may, Officer Michael from the Glen Allen PD, who has apparently been with the force for 12 years, but this is his first year doing the DARE, and he's the kids really love him, and you can see that he's very enthusiastic about it. And also Brian Pindar, who is a fifth grade teacher at Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And after the diplomas were handed out, he gave a nice, inspirational talk about, well, okay, what are you going to do with the things you've learned from this program? How are you going to continue to do it and pay it forward? And it was to me, it was fantastic. And it really demonstrated why he is, of course, deserving of the Educator of the Year this year. So just kudos to both of them.
That's good. No, thanks very much. I'll pick up on two things from Sam. One is the awards that were given. They were referred to earlier for some of the children in the Crayola project. The spring annual meeting last Tuesday for the DuPage West region, which is all the units of PTA that come together for their annual meeting, and we had several honorees, and rightly so, I'll share those with you briefly. Outstanding Leadership Award was given to Kristen Massey for Lincoln. The Rookie of the Year, which is the outstanding first-year PTA president, went to Sharon Ick at Ben Franklin, our own Ben Franklin. Membership Awards, and this is for increasing PTA membership, went to Churchill School and Lincoln and Hadley here in District 41. The Region Collaboration Award went to Lincoln School for Fitness Night, and the Region Outstanding Program Award went to Ben Franklin for Family Math. They also announced the State Award recipient from Glen Ellen, which was the State Environmental Concerns Award, which is what they were talking about, which was the Lincoln Super Crayon Project. So we really represented well. Our PTA Council, which is the kind of umbrella with committees that has all our local units, meaning our individual PTA presidents that serve as well, has just increased tremendously under the leadership of this last year's board and under the leadership of Jody Baltimore, who is the outgoing president. So those of you who know her, she's really just done a fantastic job this past year. On that note, I was at PTA Council last week, and the new officers are Kristen Massey, president for PTA Council this year, Shanna Ferris, who will be vice president, Kathy Venek, who will be secretary, and Linda Gallitz, who will be treasurer. So, again, a great board. And lots of good things. Pick up on what Sam was talking about. There was an article in the Glen Allen News, you might have seen it, with State Senator Kirk Dillard and Representative Sandra Pijos. Our own Bob Cicerella was also on the panel, our Assistant Superintendent for Finance and Facilities. Bill Enright, who's a parent at Lincoln School, also a faculty member at the College of DuPage. And Peg Agnos, who is the Executive Director of the Legislative Education Network of DuPage, which is an educational lobbying network that works completely on behalf of the schools in our region and does a tremendous amount of work trying to stop additional unfunded mandates from the state of Illinois legislators. So it was an interesting evening. Lots of political comment around why the state isn't funding education at the level of it should. But one takeaway, I think, for board members, and I want to thank all the board members who were able to be there who weren't traveling, is that we've got to put our voice forward. I think as a board, certainly we have a responsibility to do that. We have an opportunity to put a resolution in for the III conference in November, and I have a couple ideas around that that I want to bring to the board. But this you know, kind of constant bills, thousands of bills, many of which continue to increase, time spent in, from the classroom, et cetera, on mandates that they do not fund, is a drain on taxpayers, and it certainly is a drain on our schools. So that's certainly an area we can work on. And then the Lend Dinner, again, the Legislation Education Network of DuPage, was on April 25th, and there were three presentations. Sandra Pijos, who literally read through for 25 minutes all the bills that are in committee right now, which is a bit overwhelming, as well as Dr. Joseph Gust from the DuPage Regional Office of Education on a safety task force that was actually quite interesting, especially on the heels of recent events in our country and the work that the ROE is doing, so quite good. And then also Amy Dickerson, who's an attorney with Francis Redolette, who is our board counsel organization on federal safety initiatives as well. So some, you know, good information for us to be a part of and to stay in dialogue around. So we'll continue to do that and bring that back to you. Anything else?
Well, I will add one more kudos. It made me think of this when Sam was talking about the band concert. Our Hadley Orchestra won first in state last weekend, and very, very proud of that. The only orchestra to win against many bands and other competitions, and we had several individual students who were also recognized and first place winners.
That's great.
We'll have something that's going out, I think, in e-news shortly, and very proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. All right, up, let's see. Discussion items. Copier bid, paper bid results.
This is an annual bid for copy paper for us, and we have a slight savings representing a new contract and a new vendor for us next year with about $4,000 in savings, and every penny is worth saving. So we're pleased that that bid came in a little cheaper.
I think it's one of the few, we talk about this in finance, it's one of the few things that actually goes down.
Yeah. Why? It's a good question.
And eventually, you know, our goal is no paper,
that's
so
right.
Then it'll be really cheap.
What are we going to do with that?
Probably not.
I don't think we can ever be perfectly paperless, but
we're trying, Mike.
Yeah, Mike stays on top of it.
The elementary LMC and classroom laptop refresh.
This is a very large part of the long-range plan. As you know, we've talked about making a three-year goal to create a one-to-one access for our students, and this will help us achieve, while not, bring your own technology, but give us a start to one-to-one technology for our students, as well as increase the mobile technology we have in our LMCs. And so this is a large investment for us, and feel as though it's going to get us to that next level and create a one-to-one for students in grades 4 through 8. So definitely on track with our three-year plan and aligned with the long-range plan goal.
Yeah.
It's a big investment.
Thank you, Mike, for all the work on that.
I know what I'm supposed to ask. I've been asked regarding these iPads. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I've had a number of parents ask me about Odyssey, the compatibility with Odyssey on these iPads. I don't know if our classroom iPads have that compatibility, but just not our home iPads.
Not right now. They don't have an app yet available for Odyssey.
Odyssey doesn't have an app for
Odyssey.
Odyssey doesn't have it. Puffin, and there's one other that you have on your iPad. Yeah, but it's not perfect. They would prefer you not try to do it with an iPad. But I know a couple of our parents. I was talking to, I think it was the Lincoln mom who had bought the iPad and that. So they're working through that, and they'll help you problem solve. But you do need like a
What's
Puffin? Puffin, it's kind of like a flash. I think
it's a small bird, actually.
Flash.
Some of the sites on an iPad, but then you may get certain issues with Flash, and then there are other kind of workarounds, but they're not quite perfected yet.
And maybe
one of the issues with the user.
And like I said, I've just had a couple of parents ask about it.
We would never. We're not going to buy iPads to the exclusion of laptops.
No. And I just that I'm not suggesting that. I just know that parents at home, when kids are at home, you know, that iPad they can be sitting in a car line for something and you know be working on their Odyssey wherever they go. And if it's, they don't have it available to them because it's not compatible, I would just ask that maybe we could kind of communicate that because parents, I don't.
I think we have communicated that to
probably, but we still get, we've communicated about a lot of things that people ask the same question, so.
Oh, you mean saying to parents?
Yeah, just say, yeah, just communicate to parents that there's Odyssey is not compatible with.
Gotcha.
Yeah. FYI.
Okay.
Thank you, Tara. 2013 classroom furniture bid results.
This is also an annual bid that we do. We've looked to expand our 21st century classrooms so that this would be the second to last year of that, hoping to complete the that refresh next year. And this bid also includes the new furniture for the Hadley LMC project.
Mm-hmm. So we're purchasing 32 classrooms?
So eight at each building.
Great. Because I know this came up with some of the structure changes, too. There were a couple parents who talked about their son or daughter being in a classroom that had some of that furnishing and had gotten used to that kind of flow.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that we're going to be expanding that and keep increasing it. And the last one, 2013 summer painting project.
This is the final building to be painted, and that is Hadley. So we're looking forward to that possibility that not only would we have a great new learning center facility, but a freshly repainted junior high.
Yeah.
And Bill, is this the, you did it last summer?
Bill did it last summer, too. He did a nice job.
Good old Bill. No bid.
Right. On time.
Substantially
and
low bid, too.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Substantially low.
Yeah.
They did all the lockers.
Bob painting all the lockers? I don't think they're painted.
The lockers orange or red?
Red.
They're red. I think the lockers
were
painted.
When I went there.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, Steve.
Yeah. Are they painting the lockers?
What color?
Not orange.
We have to show you the color scheme. Maybe
same
we can
color?
Bring that next time. Yeah. Bob, can you bring the color palette next time?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Then you can.
You'll have to come to the meeting, Steve. All right.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you, Ann.
We'll send it to you.
All right. Upcoming meetings. May 6th, the Board of Education special meeting is at 7 p.m. Here at the Central Services Office. This is not a regular board meeting. It's a reorganization meeting. So that will be the day that our three new board members, who are here, actually, if I can introduce them, Patrick Escalante and Joe Pochensky. Welcome, Joe. And Dean Elger. Welcome, Dean. Welcome, Patrick. And so they will take their oath of office, and we will roll off three board members here. Dan Smith, who has served 4 years, Steve Vondrak, who has served 6 years, and Tara Howard, who has served 8 years. And so we welcome you to come. It's a short meeting, but one that provides some thank yous and well-deserved, and also some welcomes. So, you know, please feel free to come.
Short meeting. There's
short
a
meeting.
Other than
no agenda, just that.
Consent.
Right.
Consent agenda.
Yep. And a reminder, actually, to the board that I forgot to do in board reports. Well, this is timely. Board members interested, this goes for new board members, too, in a board leadership position to submit a statement of interest to board members, and we can have that available when we reorganize or before we reorganize. May 13th will then be the first regular board meeting and public hearing, which will start at 7:15 at Ben Franklin. So it'll be at Ben Franklin School. Are there any other matters to be considered by the board at this time? The board members? No? Okay. Public participation. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time as we close? Maureen?
Thank you. This is the first time I've ever attended one of these, and I was really encouraged by the discussion here, and so it's been nice.
Come back.
I will. When I have time.
Yeah.
So But one thing that kind of came to my mind with this book that we've been discussing, maybe going forward, as you all said, with the communication between the teacher and the parents, is it true that the District 41 policy bans NC-17 and R-rated movies at Hadley in the high school?
Those are not to be shown without parent permission, I believe. And so no R-rated movies.
My thought going forward from books is if there could be, at least with those that we're talking about here that are borderline with content, that maybe the teachers could review those books, put some sort of rating on them, and at least notify by sending home to the parents that list and say, you know, take a look at these before your child reads them. If we can't, as you said, go through this longer list of books that are in the classroom, that going forward at least it would help with that communication. It's just a lot.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Betsy. Maureen.
Want to know if the requirements for what's allowed in the classroom are the same for what's allowed in the library, and if not, why not? And also, how much discretion does each literary teacher have over what is going to be used in the curriculum and stocked in the classroom?
That's something that probably would require me to make a phone call to. Could I contact you to have that discussion?
Mm-hmm. And just censorship. I understand your strong position with censorship. But there's some of it that goes on all the time. I can guarantee that I could bring you 5 books that I could dig up somewhere that you would not allow in the school or the library. So to some degree, we have to censor in some way the literature that's allowed. I mean, that there's a lot of things out there that you would probably not want for the library.
Is your phone number on your green sheet for Anne? Good, thank you. All right. Maureen?
Vin Bruno. I'm speaking as a taxpayer, and so I am, of course, very upset with the decision that was made. It's a new low, I think, for the district to ban a book. And so I have just a question. I know that Erica read the book from cover to cover, and I know that Tara read the book from cover to cover. They both voted yes to approving them. Did you read the book?
I don't think I banned the book. I just want parents to be able to know what
you're reading. Lynn, I know that you're interested in the question.
As a taxpayer, I'm not allowed to ask that question.
Well, it's not a dialogue. I know. It's. Let me just back up. At our regular meetings, because these are business meetings, the public participation is to provide questions, comment, and then the board can get back. So,
okay. So let me ask this for clarity's sake. We had an ad hoc that met, and we brought, as educators, our data to support the use of the book in the way that we used it. We did not know anything about you getting additional book information. Did you get all of the children's letters? Was the whole packet actually?
We had the packet that the reconsideration committee had was given to the board.
Did it include the letters from the kids? Did it include the information from the teachers? And so you've got a kind of unbalanced presentation here that we feel a little blindsided on. And a very important decision was made based on one side of the conversation without having the other side of the conversation. And that disturbs me as a taxpayer and as an educator. And so I think I have a right as a taxpayer to know that. So how do I find out? Because do I have to?
Based on the conversations, I would say Eric and I are the only ones who read the book, and based on the conversations that I've had,
we're not dialoguing.
Yeah. But how many pages? We were given like 30, there was like 30 pages, there was enough of the book there.
You were given excerpts from the book.
Yeah, we were given excerpts from the book, and so that was enough for me to feel comfortable with my decision.
Thank you, Lynn. Maureen?
Nobody.
Anybody else? Any other comment?
I didn't put in a green piece of paper to speak, but I just want to say thank you very much. Okay. Appreciate it.
All right. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session this evening to discuss the following matters. Collective negotiation matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. And the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Bondrat?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr.
Black?
Yes.
Mr. Yes. The board anticipates taking action on an employment matter when it returns to open session. At 11:49 p.m. On October 29th. I mean, April 29th. Okay. Action item. May I have a motion to approve the resignation agreement for the tenured teacher named in the minutes of the closed session immediately preceding?
Motion.
Any discussion? No? All right. Roll call, Tara.
Mr. Bondrat?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard? Yes. Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. May I have a motion to adjourn the April 29th, 2013 Board of Education meeting? All in favor?
Motion.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Motion.
Who was the...
Motion was John.
Motion was John. I'm sorry.
Drew.
Drew
was the motion.
No, John was the motion. Drew was the second.